Welcome to the Rocks Pile Podcast, part of Fansided Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Kevin Henry and Noah Yingling.
And welcome into the Rocks Pile Rockies Report. I am Noah Yingling, along with my site co-expert, Kevin Henry, and you will hear from him in a minute. But first, a word from our sponsor, Manscaped. The Olympics, Euros, baseball, major championships, and concerts are all in season this summer, and so is Manscaped, the leaders in the below-the-waist grooming. Their fourth-generation performance package includes the brand-new Lawnmower 4.0. If an athlete treats their body like royalty, you deserve that as well, and you can do that when you join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and using the promo code FANSIDED20. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. Their Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on and off switch, which can engage a travel lock, and gives you the ability to turn on the 4000K LED spotlight. Also, did I mention it is waterproof? That's part of the reason why the Lawnmower 4.0 is the best trimmer for you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. Again, 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED and the number 20 at manscaped.com. Escape the shrubs and the weeds this summer and shine with Manscaped. So again, Noah Yingling here with Kevin Henry. Kevin Henry is out in Stockton, California, in front of the Fresno Grizzlies as they will be taking on Stockton later tonight as we're recording this on Friday evening. But first, the All-Star game obviously was this past week and you were there for all the festivities. What were some of the things that you happen to see out there?
Absolutely. And I'm just going to apologize to everybody. If you hear the music in the background, it is pregame here in Stockton as the Fresno Grizzlies and the Stockton Ports get ready to do battle here at Banner Island Ballpark. But Noah, the All-Star game, first and foremost, big kudos to the Rockies, City of Denver, everybody involved pulling that together. It really was amazing to see it all come together. And to see there were some Rockies touches on it, you know, there was a lot of backlash, we know, during the lead-up to it about the uniforms. Was that the Georgia State flower on there? You know, there's a lot of things that still felt like Atlanta had a feel for or a part of the All-Star game.
The Hank Aaron tribute.
Yeah, absolutely, and which was phenomenal, by the way. And I want to talk about that in just a minute. But, you know, like the purple carpet there at McGregor Square, you know, it's been a long time, and I've been going to downtown Denver even during COVID, but it's been a long time since downtown Denver had energy to it, a buzz to it. And I will tell you, packed for the Home Run Derby, packed for the All-Star game, somewhat packed for celebrity softball and Sunday activities. It was good to see Lodo and downtown Denver have 3 days of fans come in. And one of the biggest things that I saw behind the scenes, Noah, and I wrote an article about it, is that Rockies owner Dick Monfort actually took time to sit down with me for an exclusive chat. And it was only about 10 minutes long. It was about all the time that he had. But he's vilified by a lot of people. And I'm not going to get into whether he should or shouldn't be, but I can tell you that he was so ecstatic that the Rockies had actually pulled this off and made the All-Star game into a premier event without there being hiccups, without there being a lot of things that could have happened in a short amount of time. So I hope everybody reads that article and kind of reads what Dick Monfort is saying about Denver coming together, his franchise coming together. We know with the trade deadline, the Nolan Arenado fiasco, everything else, there's a lot of reasons to boo him. There's a lot of reasons to wonder what's next. But for that brief weekend, all was well, at least in purple.
And we had some other conversations on the site as well. And obviously, since you're a member of the BBWAA, you heard Rob Manfred and Tony Clark as well. Tony Clark being the MLB PA director. We had some of the stuff that they said on the site. We also talked with Bernie Williams. We had that on a previous episode of the podcast. We talked with Willie MacGyver. So there's a lot out there on the site and on the podcast. So if you haven't heard it, go back and check that out. So there's a lot of stuff there. But
I'm really glad you mentioned Tony Clark, because I think it segues into what's going on right now. Because one of the things that struck me so much sitting at the BBWAA brunch with him and Commissioner Rob Manfred was that Tony Clark, whenever we were talking about COVID-19 and what all was going on in MLB, one of the things he said was, there's a lot of things going on right now that you all don't even know about. And that perked up my ears. I'm like, what does that mean? And sure enough, as we get back into the second half, we know Yankees-Red Sox postponed on Thursday. We know the Rockies, Tigers, a lot of teams are dealing with COVID-19 issues right now. And so I think that that was very – I think MLB knew something was going on, and they were trying to put a cap on it as quickly as possible, but obviously it still affected games.
Yeah, and for the Rockies, the players out on Friday, meaning today, are Antonio Senzatella, who was going to start the game, Jonathan Daza, Ulysses Chacin, Yency Almonte, and then coaches Ron Gideon and then manager Bud Black. Mike Redmond, the bench coach, is filling in today as manager. We'll see how long that will last. When he spoke with the media later than usual today, because the Rockies obviously had to deal with a lot of stuff, he couldn't reveal much. He did say, though, that they knew that Chichi Gonzalez would be starting today, and he was told that yesterday. So he will be on more of a regular schedule. And at least they had the All-Star break, so he's not on short rest or anything. Kyle Freeland will move up to tomorrow. He originally was going to start on Sunday. They don't have a starter as of yet to start on Sunday. But also, too, I mean, as you know, well know, Kevin, when the reporters are on the Zoom calls and trying to get information on breaking news, when stuff cannot be revealed yet, there's many ways to ask about different information. And every single time Mike Redmond was, I'd love to tell you, I either don't know or I can't tell you. Because,
I think there's a lot of things going on right now that we don't know about. And I, you know, I will tell you out here in Stockton, again, Harry Potter night, so forgive the music in the background. We're getting ready for a game here. One of the things that was interesting was whenever I walked into the ballpark today, they told me that I needed to wear a mask. That's the first time that I've had to wear a mask, even though I'm fully vaccinated, have my sticker with my BBWAA card and everything stating that. They still told me I needed to wear a mask on the field. Apparently, that was something that just came down today. So this is brand new. Because the Fresno broadcast for me, even some of the Stockton folks were all kind of listening to each other like, wait, why are you wearing a mask and I'm not? And so I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes right now, and I'm real curious to see what this next week or so looks like, especially here in California. We know LA is going back to a mask mandate for the county. I'm very curious to see where this goes.
By the way, too, speaking of the Fresno broadcaster, for those of our older generation listening to the podcast or reading the site, if you remember Hank Greenwald, Giants broadcaster in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, was with the Yankees for a few years. His son is the broadcaster for Fresno, Doug Greenwald. So, and he's been with Fresno for almost 20 years now. But So, with the Rockies, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how this develops. There are some people, of course, that naturally on the media forum that is often known for very rational takes, known as Twitter. People are like, well, they must not be vaccinated. No, pay attention. The Rockies are the number one vaccinated team in all of baseball. And it's been reported as few as zero players that have not been vaccinated. And there's been some reports saying that two players weren't vaccinated. So either way, there's four players out right now. at bare minimum, at least two of them were vaccinated. So there now, like, for example, the Yankees have had issues where, like, Gleyber Torres a few weeks ago, he tested positive. He was told that he was vaccinated, he was vaccinated, and he was told he tested positive. And that ended up being a false positive. But it's not 100% the testing and all that. And also, too, at least as of what we've been told, it has just been contact tracing. So it could have been they were in contact with somebody that had the virus falsely tested positive for it. So the players and coaches very well could be back tomorrow. If they are actually positive, then they'll be out longer. But for example, Bud Black, he flat out told us it was in spring training. I got my second vaccination. And that was what, 5 months ago now? 4 or 5 months ago?
Yeah, it's something that I think a lot of people jump to conclusions. And I think whenever the Yankees news came out about Aaron Judge and some of the others at the All-Star game, I think a lot of people started, you know, and I know it's hard to believe, Noah, but some people jumped to conclusions weren't exactly correct. There's a lot we still got to figure out about this, just like we do COVID-19 overall, the Delta variant, everything else that's going on. But we don't know, and let's make very clear, we don't know how long any of the Rockies players and coaches are going to be out. As you said, it could be a one-day thing. It could be longer. We don't know. But we do know that for the second half, unofficial second half opener against the Dodgers, the Rockies are going in with some new faces in there. Noah, we talked about Zach Roscoe might be a guy who gets a call-up sometime soon, and sure enough, he's one of the guys. And I think Rockies fans are really intrigued that Sam Hilliard is also back in Denver as well.
Yeah, and for Ross Cup and Antonio Santos is up as well. The Rockies only recalled three players. Four went on the COVID injured list, or the COVID protocol list, I should say. So we'll have to see if there's another corresponding move or if we'll be learning more tomorrow on what happens.
We'll have that on the site. I would have a feeling, right, Noah?
Just correct. Yeah, it's amazing what happens when you write. So we will have that on the site, and we'll be following that with a close eye. But another thing too, I mean, that's going to be happening is, fortunately, at least as of right now, there's no players part of that look like they're going to be traded. But what happens if, with the trade deadline in 2 weeks from today, what happens if a player that, for example, Trevor Story, John Gray, one of those that look like they may be traded, or they should be traded, I should say. And what if they test positive? Obviously, we don't know if that's going to happen, but that's something to possibly look forward to, is if the Rockies have a few more, because there have been other teams where, okay, we've got these players that are going to be out for it, and then the next day or two, oh, we have even more. So that's something we definitely have to keep an eye on as well.
You've heard it. I've heard it. Anybody who's been around Bud Black for any period of time has heard his rule number one: be ready for anything.
Yep. And Mike Redmond said that today too.
Really? There you go. The Bud Black school right there. And I think these next 2 weeks, we have to be ready for anything. We don't know what's going to happen during the trade deadline. We're getting some big-time mixed signals about that. I mean, if the Rockies are really just going to hold fast to what they've got, I think that's going to bring a lot of questions in about this franchise and what's coming next. I think a lot of folks are going to be more upset about that than they are possibly Nolan Arenado being traded and what the return was there.
Yeah, and we'll have more on that on the site as well on Saturday. Some of our thoughts and opinions on that as well. So on the other side of this break, though, we will discuss a little bit about the Fresno Grizzlies. As mentioned, Kevin is there in Stockton, where Fresno is on the road, but we'll talk about them, and you'll hear from some of the Grizzlies as well on the other side of this break. And we are back here on the Rockspile Rockies Report. Noah Yingling and Kevin Henry here with you. Kevin, you spoke with some Grizzlies earlier today, and what are some of the things you heard?
You know, it's been really cool. I've got to say, Noah, this is, you can say, arguably the most talented level that the Rockies have is their low A right now. You could argue that the most talent they've got in their whole minor league system rests in Fresno, California. And as I look at the scoreboard right now, four of the nine guys who are starting tonight, we actually had a chance to talk to before batting practice today. Appreciate their time. We got a chance to catch up with Zach Veen, obviously top prospect in the Rockies organization. Drew Romo, top catching prospect in the Rockies organization. Grant Levine, you know, a 2018 draft pick that has had an interesting road so far and is still trying to make that jump up to the next level. And then Colin Simpson, you know, a late round draft pick out of Oklahoma State. We know how the Rockies love their guys from Oklahoma. And Colin
Simpson. And you
Simpson,
do too.
Well, why wouldn't you? Hello. But Colin
Simpson. By the way, Kevin is from Oklahoma, if you aren't.
I almost said Boomer Sooner, and then I realized that Ryan Vallade and Colin Simpson would not appreciate me saying that, being OSU guy. But, you know, Colin Simpson's a real interesting guy. He's a guy that you're not going to hear a lot about, yet he's playing four different positions right now for the Grizzlies, trying to get that jump, trying to make that next step in his career. We had a chance to talk to him about the chemistry of this team, what he's seeing, as well as with all these different guys, different ages, different backgrounds, how do they all come together? And here's what Colin Simpson had to say before today's game.
Here with the Fresno Grizzlies, DH catcher. You kind of do it all, Colin Simpson, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So let's talk about that. You're playing like all over the field so far this season. Is that something you like, something you embrace?
I actually do like it. Catching is my favorite spot on the field.
Okay.
But I learned first base in 2019 when I was in Junction, and I enjoyed it. I've always liked the infield. I've played a little bit in high school. I messed around in college in the infield, but I always like fielding ground balls. That's just a fun thing to me. And then I really like left field because tracking down fly balls, that's a pretty fun thing to do, running the ball down in the gap. There's not really a better feeling. It's almost like you're a receiver on a football field. So it's pretty fun. I enjoy it all.
There's a lot of different skill sets for those positions. How do you kind of balance your time, your workout, getting ready, man?
So it kind of depends on what the lineup says that day.
Okay.
If I'm in left, obviously I'll go take reads in left, work out with the outfielders. If I'm DHing, like today, I'll possibly be with the catchers, or I'll go outfield and infield. I'll do the outfield to start, and then I'll go field ground balls at first. Days I'm not playing, I go catch bullpens, and I'll be in the bullpen during the game so I can catch and keep the workup behind the plate. So I've kind of gotten into a routine where I kind of figured out, you know, how to balance it all. So it's, yeah, I enjoy it, though. It's fun.
This month's been coming together for you at the plate. Had a real just getting your timing down, or what is it?
So I struggled for first 2 months or so. You know, I just didn't feel comfortable in the box. My swing didn't feel right. And so, you know, me and Nick Wilson, we've been working pretty hard, and our hitting coordinators came in town a couple of times and been working with him. And finally, you know, I got my swing back to where it feels quick and I'm on time and everything just kind of fell in line again. And so I finally got to the point where I'm staying in the box and I feel comfortable. I'm seeing the ball. And so it makes hitting a lot more fun when you feel that way.
And how fun is a night like last night when it all came together for everybody, man?
Oh, those games are always a blast, you know. I mean, everybody on our team right now is seeing the ball well. I mean, for the most part, we have been all year.
Yeah.
You know, so it's we talked about it today in the locker room. It's nice. It kind of takes pressure off. You know, yesterday I came up, bases loaded, one out. I was trying to get the job done, struck out, didn't happen. But, you know, I had faith in the guy behind me as well, and he comes up and hits a two-out double that scores two runs. And so it takes a lot of pressure off in the box when your whole team is, you know, kind of seeing the ball well, swinging it well, and you have trust in every guy. So it makes it a lot more fun being able to play more free because you have so much trust in your teammates.
You got a lot of different ages, different backgrounds on this team. How did you guys all come together and have this chemistry?
Honestly, I have no idea. You know, in the locker room, we all just kind of give each other crap, you know, like anybody would. At first, it was a little tough. You know, some guys didn't quite figure it out very quick, but then they kind of learned, you know, they're just messing with me, like it's for fun, whatever, and they started giving it back. And so then we kind of started building this chemistry, and our infield, you know, they're pretty unbelievable. Tovar and Julio have got a pretty crazy bond, and Eddie Diaz, you know, they always just have fun during infield practice and mess around. And so I think that everybody seeing that kind of helped everybody else, you know, those infielders watching them mess around and have that chemistry. Then the outfielders started to build theirs, and then it kind of just all kind of meshed together and became a lot of fun.
That's awesome, man. And what did you do last year during COVID? How did you kind of get mentally ready for this season?
So, let's see. When we got sent home in March, me and that guy down there from Tulsa, we worked out every day from March until end of June. And then I think that's when we got the final say of, you know, we're not going to have a season. And so we both kind of shut it down for a little while. I actually enjoyed a summer a little bit. You know, I went to the lake with my mom, you know, went on some family trips and went and visited family. And so I just kind of hung out with the family a little while. And then come fall, I actually started working for my dad because I wasn't making money anymore with the Rockies. So I had to start finding a way to make some money. So I was working with my dad. And then February 1st rolled around, and that's when I started finally working into baseball again. I started working out, hitting, throwing, and got ready for the spring training in April or May, whenever it was.
Was it always in the back of your mind, or is it something you just kind of said?
Baseball?
Yeah.
I mean, it was always in the back of my mind, but I just kind of set it to the side, and I didn't think too much about it because, that whole time through the winter and everything, we still didn't know when we were going to report. We didn't know. So once I got the report date, I gave myself exactly 2 months to get swinging, hitting, throwing, lifting, all that stuff, and it worked out pretty well. I felt good going in the spring training.
Last question for you. When you got the news there wasn't going to be a season, did that take you some time to process, or were you just like, all right, move on?
You know, we kind of had all figured that was going to be because, you know, COVID was so unknown. Nobody knew anything about it, and so we were all working out, and there were like six of us, I think, and we were all minor league players. And so we all had kind of been talking every day, and we'd see reports and see the big league stuff. And so, and we kind of were hearing words from other people that it probably wasn't going to happen. And so we kind of assumed that it wasn't going to happen. And so when we finally heard it, it was kind of like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll take some time for myself now. So it was kind of nice, but at the same time, you know, you always miss baseball. So
absolutely. Well, glad you're back, man. Colin Simpson, thanks so much.
Yep, thank you.
And Noah, you know, one thing that stood out to me while I was talking to Colin Simpson was just the difference between him and Zach Bean and Drew Romo. You know, and not that they're that far apart in age, but there's enough that you can tell just talking to them, there's a little bit of difference. And so I asked Zach Bean, you know, he's a guy who has had the microscope on him ever since he was drafted during the 2020 draft. Highest draft pick the Rockies had, they spent on outfielder Zach Bean. He's come into Fresno. He's had some ups. He's had some downs. But I ask him, how does he level all of that ups and downs out, as well as handle the pressure of being that next guy for the Rockies? And here's what he had to say.
Zach Bean, Rockies prospect outfielder. Zach, thanks, friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So tell me about – let's talk about that game last night. Obviously an offensive outburst, not just by the team, but you personally.
Yeah, I thought it was definitely a good win to know we're not going to lose the series. And, you know, I think when you have good at-bats and, you know, you string together a couple good ones in a row, it's hard to lose. And, you know, I think last night we just had one of those nights where, you know, everybody was contributing. Nobody really had an off night.
You've had a season of some good ups, some good downs, and kind of been riding out. What's it been like for you this first season, just getting used to the grind, everything that goes along with it?
Yeah, this first season, I think it's really taught me a lot. You know, I've never, I guess, really failed this much in my life. And, you know, it took some getting used to and learning how to bounce back. And, you know, in high school, you have one rough game. You got three more days to your next one. So it's just really learning how to stay positive and, you know, not really overthink it and just enjoy every day and, you know, let the stats come.
Has that been something that's been a learning process for you just to get to that point right there?
Yeah, the more I talk to some of the older, experienced guys on our team, the more I learn, you know, that there is a lot of ups and downs. And, you know, one bad week won't kill your season. And, you know, one good week can turn it all around. So it's just learning stuff like that every day.
And obviously the high draft pick, a lot of pressure comes with that. Is that something you just take in stride, or does it even matter at this point?
I'd say it wouldn't really matter anymore. You know, I think, you know, that was something I really cared about, you know, when I got drafted going into pro ball. But the more I'm playing, the more I'm realizing, you know, that rankings and all that stuff doesn't really matter, and everybody's here for the same goal. So just you know, not really taking anything for granted.
This is a team that's obviously excelling in the standings right now. Is it just a team coming together, chemistry? How do you describe it?
Yeah, I'd say it's I think there's a really good bond on this team, and I really think, you know, there's a lot of guys who know the role. And you know, I think when you have nine guys on the field at all times that know their role during the game, you know, you're a tough team to beat, and it's hard to lose.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about being drafted during COVID, what that was like for you, and what you did to kind of mentally prepare for the season.
It was definitely a bummer when my high school season got ended. Yeah. You know, especially with all the talent and, you know, the players we had. It would have been nice to, you know, hopefully hit a first state championship. My first state championship, at least. And if anything, it just gave me more time to prepare, more time to get ready for this season. And, you know, I took it as this is a good time to get bigger and stronger and faster, because when I get out here, I'm going to be playing against 22, 23-year-olds, so I had to catch up.
And is that something you mentally have to kind of take into account, so that you're younger than a lot of these guys? Does that matter at this point?
I'd say at first it was a little different, you know, playing with guys who are married, or, you know, some have kids. And but at the end of the day, it's just baseball. And you know, I'd like to think I wouldn't be here if I wasn't good. So that's kind of how I approached it.
And first season in Fresno, a Triple A facility. What's that been like for you to kind of get your feet under you there?
It's definitely something I'm grateful for. You know, my first time going to a field that was, you know, considered a single-A ballpark.
Yeah.
It was eye-opening, you know, how good we have it, and how, you know, well, how good the stadium is, and just how, you know, well we have it. So it was pretty eye-opening.
And last question for you. Are you a goal kind of guy? Like, you want to see something happen by the end of the season, personally or professionally, or do you take it a game at a time?
In the beginning of the year, I was definitely a goal-oriented guy, but now I've learned to just take it pitch by pitch, day by day. So, you know, try to win as many games as possible.
All right. Zach Veen, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
We will hear from Rockies top catching prospect Drew Romo on the other side of this break.
And right in that same draft class, along with Zach Veen, was Drew Romo. Now, a lot of folks think of Romo as this guy who could be the next great catcher, or maybe some might argue first great catcher for the Rockies. But the Rockies have never spent a higher draft pick on any catching prospect than they did on Drew Romo. So I asked him today, what's this season been like for him? What was it like during COVID-19? And is that pressure on him to know that so many are watching his development as well?
Here with Drew Romo for the Fresno Grizzlies, take on the Stockton Ports in Stockton, California. How are you, Drew?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
What has this season been like for Fresno? I mean, you guys are putting it all together, it seems like, right now.
Yeah, I think it's been a great season for Fresno. We have a great team this year. You know, everybody's a good guy on the team. We're all getting along together well. We're playing great baseball right now. And, you know, our fans in Fresno, they're great. They give us a lot of support, and so it's great playing for them.
What about you? What's, you know, obviously drafted during COVID, strange time to come in. What was that like for you, and then finally getting to play in Fresno?
Yeah, it was definitely a crazy experience. I feel very lucky that I had a big positive in the year of 2020. Not many people had that. And this season has been great for me so far. It's been awesome to get my feet wet. I've learned a lot, and I'm just looking forward to continue to get better.
Well, let's talk about that. What are some of the things that you've kind of learned already this year?
It's been a lot of things. You know, just I've kind of learned a good approach at the plate. I've learned what kind of hitter I want to be at the moment. Defensively, I've learned how to handle a pitching staff. I've learned how to call a better game. I've learned how to be a better teammate and how to play good team baseball. So the Rockies have done a really good job helping out the players on this team.
You've had a lot of guys come through here, a lot of movement already pitching-wise. Mm-hmm. How do you adapt and build that relationship with guys?
I mean, I'd say it's all about reps. It's all about innings. you know, looking back to spring training, I really didn't know much about these guys.
Yeah.
But now, a few months into the season, I know these pitchers like the back of my hand. And so I feel like we have a lot of good chemistry going into games.
Your guy had obviously got a lot of publicity coming in. Was that something you used as motivation or just kind of par for the course and take it as it comes?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said right there, just every day I'm looking forward to getting better. And, you know, for me, I feel like I'm just focused on helping my team each and every day.
There was a lot of talk about your defensive skills. And there, let's be honest, there were some questions about what could you bring at the plate. And you said you've been working on that. What are some things that you've really kind of been focusing on?
Yeah, for me, I've honestly always felt very comfortable at the plate. I feel like my defense kind of overshadowed my offense, and I feel like people kind of overlooked me in that part of my game. And so, really, I'm just kind of doing what I've always done right now. I'm doing what's natural for me, and I'm keeping everything simple, and I'm just trusting my process and trusting my swing.
Are you a guy who sets goals, or you just take it a game at a time? What kind of player are you?
When I was younger, I definitely set very big goals, but now that we're here and we're playing every day, I'm really trying my hardest to value each and every day. Because these days, they really feel like they're flying by right now. You know, the season's already more than halfway done. So I'm really just valuing each and every game one at a time.
And last question for you. Coming into Fresno, former AAA Park, what have the facilities been like for you, and how have you kind of adjusted to this schedule?
The facilities are great. I definitely feel a little spoiled in my first full season of minor league baseball. It is great playing in Fresno, and so all of our guys are very thankful for the facilities that we have.
All right, Drew Roma, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Now, Grant Levine was one of those first basemen who was brought in by the Rockies about the same time as Michael Tolia, some other guys who were coming up during the system. Grant has been a guy that has been Grand Junction, Asheville, now Fresno. When is he going to make that next step up, and what's it going to take for him to do that? I kind of asked him about his outlook as well as what he was working on, and here's what he told me.
Here in Stockton, California, talking to Rockies prospect Grant Levine. Grant, thanks for joining, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So this team's really seemingly putting it together lately. What's been kind of the key for you guys at the plate? Y'all been on a surge.
Yeah, I think offensively we've really worked together as a team. You know, we get runners on second base with no outs. We move them over, sack bunt. And then we're confident that the guy behind him will do his job to score him with either like a sack fly or a ground ball through the infield. So, I mean, we just do the small things really well offensively. And I also think that as a team, we've been really aggressive early in the counts, and we're able to do some damage on the baseball.
Take me back to that July 3rd comeback. What was that ninth inning like? And obviously you capping it off.
Yeah, I think we started off with a like a walk, or Eddie Diaz gone with a walk. Tovar had a double that scored him. And I just remember coming up, the guy, just like a fastball slider guy, so I was really trying to lock in on his fastball and got into a 1-1 count. Had previously just missed the fastball, so I felt pretty good about getting another one and was able to drive it out to right field.
What was that moment like knowing you guys had not only completed a comeback, but obviously walked it off, man?
Yeah, I mean, that was just a crazy last two innings. I think we scored 8 runs and had about 3 homers during those two innings. So it was just crazy running around third knowing we just came back from 9-2.
What was the COVID time off for you? What was kind of your focus during that?
For me, did a lot of work, trying to work in my swing, make it a little bit short. Had been a little long in 2019 in Nashville. And really try to lock in defensively, trying to improve around the bag and trying to be a cat, or at least have trust in my teammates that they don't have to make a perfect throw every time.
And how's that paying off so far for you this year, you think?
I think so far, and ever since the first month, I really started to drive the ball a little bit more now and starting to hit for power between the gaps. So it's been paying off pretty well, and defensively I've been really happy with how it progressed so far.
Cool. And last question for you. Fresno obviously moving to some AAA facilities. What's that been like, and how has that kind of helped you personally?
Yeah, I mean, being able to have those facilities is, I mean, we're really fortunate. I mean, having the cage indoors, very nice. Being able to do machine work in there all the time has been really key for us, me and the team.
All right, Grant, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And then finally, we've got to give props to the manager of the Fresno Grizzlies, Robinson Cancel. Robinson has done an incredible job pulling all these talents together. And Noah, let's not forget, this is also a team that has had a ton of movement. A lot of guys have already been moved up to High A Spokane, and yet Low A Fresno has not missed a beat with these guys getting called up. So I asked Robinson what it's like to make sure that he can balance not only the talent that's coming in, but also the chemistry in the clubhouse and that it doesn't get messed up.
Here with Robinson Cancel, the manager of the Fresno Grizzlies. Thanks for joining. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about the success of this team. You've got a lot of different personalities, backgrounds. How do you blend them all together and make a winning team right now?
Well, everything started out of spring training. We create a culture in spring training to be a teamwork for the most part. And I think it's been paying off at this point.
What are some things, obviously a lot of Rockies fans haven't seen your team play this year. What are some things that you're kind of seeing as strengths? I mean, I keep reading about pitching, I keep reading about the hitting. What are some things that are kind of jumping out to you so far this year?
I think the way we go about it, especially on the base path, we force the issue. We're running bases hard out of the box. We'll go first to third. We'll try to take the extra base when they give us a chance. Guys slow to the plate, we'll try to steal a base. We play the fundamentals. We move the guy over. We play the little game. So I think that's been a big key for us as a team.
You were talking to our colleague Jack Etkin recently and said that you really believed in what this team can do. What? How soon did you see that belief? Was it in spring training? Whenever you saw what this team could do?
We're playing spring training and the way they were handling themselves during spring, doing things that usually you don't see it on A-ball. You see things like, well, this guy's getting the guy over. This guy taking pitches. This guy throwing the ball over the plate, pitching backwards, stuff like that. And you start thinking of those little things, and then they got together with the speed that we have and all that. I said, it looks like we're going to be pretty good. So we started hot, and the team believed that they were good, and we haven't stopped since, and hopefully it stays like that.
As a manager, nights like last night when it kind of all comes together, both on the mound and at the plate, is that a gratifying moment, or do you just go, that was one game, we still got to win today?
Yeah, that actually is, you know, it's a game that's already over with.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't get to manage. It's when it's open up like that, you let them play, get the 27th out, and go back at it tomorrow. But it's good to see them, you know, having fun like that and hit the ball, pitch the contact, make the plays. It's fun to watch them every day doing that.
You've also managed a team that's had a lot of movement already this year. You've had some guys go up to Spokane, some other guys come in. What kind of challenges does that present to you as a manager to make sure the chemistry stays intact?
Like I said, everything was built in spring training. You know, sometimes spring training, the rosters are bigger. And you have some players that probably didn't make the team, but they already have idea what it's going to be like during the season, so they acclimated, I believe, pretty quickly with it. And if they're not in the same page, we'll find a way to get them on the same page as a unit. And I think everybody's on the same page, so it's good to have them over here. And then when somebody leaves and somebody comes, and I believe they've been talked to the players. You know, the players talk to each other, and I believe they are. They talk how it's like.
And last question for you. What challenges did last year present with no season and then trying to gear back up in spring training? Or was it a challenge once everybody got back into campus?
Well, I felt like my concern was when they haven't played for a year, how good a shape they are when they come in, how much throwing, how much hitting, how much stuff they've been doing. Even though we keep track with them during the pandemic, we're, you know, assuming calls, we're calling, we're texting. But at the same time, you want to see it in person. even though, you know, you get videos and stuff, I want to see it in person, hopefully. Yeah. They are in really good shape and ready to roll, because, you know, spring training wasn't as long as, I would say, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So, you know, at the same time, they're preparing for a season, plus they're competing. So that was my main concern, was being able to be ready to go in spring training.
Well, doing excellent so far, so good. So appreciate the time, and thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me, and go Rocks.
Go Rocks.
Yeah.
So those are our five looks at the Fresno Grizzlies. And Noah, if you look at the standings heading into Friday night's game, this is a juggernaut, dare we say. They are leading the IA West North Division. I got to make sure I get that right, because it's not the Cal League anymore. But the High A West North Division by 2 games, 42-21 on the season, and coming off a night where they put a 18-0 win over Stockton. And Noah, between us, the Stockton coach was not very pleased with his team before the game. Just a little teaser there.
And also, too, you know, you said it's the Low A West North Division. It's the Cal League. Sorry.
Just like it's Comiskey Park. It's the Jake. I mean, some things are never going to change, right? Come on.
Well, like when Thomas Harding of MLB.com and I, we were talking about it was in Milwaukee. We were talking about the locations of the different AAA teams and the different leagues they were in. And like, oh, the Isotopes, it was something to the effect of, oh, they have like the second worst record in the Pacific Coast League. He's like, you know, it's the AAA West, not it's Pacific Coast League.
It's always going to be the PCL.
Sorry. You
know, and one of these days it'll be the IA West North Division sponsored by Honda or something. I mean, just get ready. It'll come at some point.
I mean, hey, at least I'm not calling the two AAA leagues, the AAA leagues, the International League, the PCL, and the American Association. I'm not that old.
You're not that. And I'm not going to make one comment about that, because I still remember the American Association, damn it. So there you go. But hey, one thing to note on Fresno, and I think it's really interesting, they not only lead the Low A West in hitting with a .264 team average, they are second in the league with a .367 team ERA pitching-wise. So the Zach Beans, a lot of the guys are going to get credit, as well they should, for what they're doing at the plate. But Robinson Cancel told me after we finished interviewing, don't overlook the pitching that's going on. Tonight, Sam Weatherly is taking the mound. He was recently named the High A West Pitcher of the Week. We didn't get a chance to talk to him because it's his turn in the rotation, but he is going to give us a follow-up interview soon enough, and we'll have that for you here on the podcast.
And with Fresno, they're one of the Rockies affiliates that is actually fairly low in elevation. I believe they're probably 300 feet or so in elevation. Hartford, obviously, is low as well, being in Connecticut. That'll be interesting to see with those pitchers if, for example, when they go to Spokane. Spokane is more at elevation. They're a little under 2,000 feet in elevation. Obviously, it's nothing compared to Coors Field, especially because you're facing major league hitters. But that's something that the Rockies have looked at more, is trying to get some get the players some experience at elevation. I mean, that's why they had Grand Junction, Albuquerque. Albuquerque is actually higher elevation than Denver. So that's something that's a big key, obviously, for the Rockies.
A lot of people don't know that. I still say they need to bring back the Casper Ghosts, man. I'm telling you, bring back a Wyoming minor league team.
Absolutely. Up
there. I'm just telling you, absolutely, at some point.
Yeah, and Casper is right around the mile high mark. I believe they're just under. But yeah, that's... There used to be, especially 10 years ago, there were a lot of teams out there in the Mountain Time Zone. There aren't now.
No. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that Rob Manfred talked about during his talk with BBWAA was about how the minor leagues were now more of a business. And I get that they need to be more of a business, but I think it's a shame that the Great Falls, the Ogdens, the Grand Junctions are not part of, quote, affiliated baseball anymore.
Colorado Springs is another one. I mean, they're over 6,000 feet in elevation.
Great point.
So yeah, well, they do have the quote unquote Rocky Mountain vibes.
Yep. And we also, as you can hear, Harry Potter is near. I'm just telling you, there's some wizardry going on behind the scenes here. So we will be ready. We're going to be here in Stockton tonight watching the Fresno Grizzlies. I really appreciate Fresno working with us to make this happen. Kudos to Stephen Rice, the great media relations coordinator, and all the folks at the Grizzlies working with us to make this happen. And Noah, I'm really curious. This could be a team that could go, and you know, knock on some wood here, that's built to go the furthest perhaps of any of the levels that the Rockies have right now.
Yeah, and I mean, unfortunately, that isn't too much competition there. Because as if you look at the standings, I'll be very blunt. Albuquerque stinks. Hartford stinks. Spokane is okay. I mean, they're not great, but they're better than the others. But I believe they're right around 500, a few games under, actually. They're 29 and 34. But yeah, I mean, when you look at Hartford, they have the worst record in the AA Northeast. They have a winning percentage of 306 right now. You look at Albuquerque. They have a winning percentage of 417, which is actually improved because they won their last six games. But that's still the worst record in the AAA West. There's not, and I mean, you ask pretty much anybody, and you look at the team records when you're this far in the season, major leagues, minor leagues, doesn't matter. That's pretty indicative of the record of the talent on the team, I should say.
If you heard my interview with Robinson Cancel, one thing he said was, we knew in spring training this was going to be a special group of guys. There's a lot to be said about, you know, what you see in spring training and it actually translating it over into the regular season. And Fresno's figured out a way to make it happen. So kudos to them for that.
Yep.
Noah, I've got to tell you, I am getting ready to get on the radio with the gentleman from Fresno that you mentioned. We're doing a little pregame stuff, so I'm going to actually have to cut this short. But I think I hope everybody enjoys these Grizzlies, and I hope that these are guys that will see a Coors Field sooner than later, too.
Yeah, and the way that they're developing, we might see them in 2 or 3 years. So for my friend and fellow co-expert, Kevin Henry, I'm Noah Yingling. Thank you for listening. We will have more on the site and here on the podcast in the near future. So hopefully you will listen and read those articles as well. And as we mentioned, especially from the All-Star break, if you haven't checked those out, Bernie Williams, Willie MacGyver, Dick Monfort, others, make sure you check those out. So for Kevin Henry, I'm Noah Yingling. And as Kevin likes to say, hey, go Rockies.